All right, welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we get an opportunity to continue our discussion of health matters. And the focus, again, will be obesity. We're looking at the pros and cons specifically of determining whether or not obesity should be considered a disease. What are your thoughts about that? We started the conversation. We're going to continue it today. But what are your thoughts about obesity? Should it be considered a disease? All right. Before we do that, let's look at some more background. And I specifically want us to take a look, just a brief look, at obesity and overweight. Because as I mentioned before, we have about 36.5% of Americans, as of a 2016 report, who are obese. But the problem is worse than that, because we do have a high percentage of people who are also overweight, which is also a health concern. So let's take a brief look at the difference between the two, just a brief look. And of course, with both, you're concentrating on body mass index, BMI. People are usually identified as obese, which is identified as having an excessive amount of body fat based on their body mass index, or BMI. And the BMI is calculated by taking a person's weight divided by the square of his or her height. So whatever their height is, square that and divide their weight by that height. The normal BMI range is between 18.5 and 24.9. The body mass index for someone who is overweight is anywhere from 25 to 29.9. And for someone who is obese, the body mass index is 30 or above. So here's an example of how you would get this, how you would do this. Let's say a person is 5 feet, 5 inches tall, and they weigh 180 pounds. Their BMI would be 30. A person who is 6 feet tall and weighs 221 pounds would have a BMI of 30. They're both considered obese by the BMI measurement. But some people, such as muscle-heavy athletes, may have overweight or obese BMIs, but they may not have excess body fat. So keep those things in mind. Very important. According to the World Health Organization, in 2013, they reported that obesity rates worldwide have almost doubled since 1980, accounting for over 200 million men and almost 300 million women. Combined, overweight and obesity cause at least 2.8 million deaths each year and are the fifth leading risk for death globally. The fifth leading risk for death around the world. 65% of the global population lives in countries where being overweight or obese causes more deaths than being underweight, making 2012 the first time that overweight and obesity caused more deaths than malnutrition. There was a time that malnutrition was causing a lot of deaths, more deaths than being overweight or obese. Think about the commercials where we see the children with very, very skinny limbs and swelled stomachs, underweight children, underweight. And that kind of malnutrition was killing a lot of people. It still is. But now, overweight and obesity are causing more deaths than malnutrition. Obesity and obesity-related health conditions cost almost 10% of annual medical spending in the United States, totaling $147 billion in 2008. In April 2014, Duke Global Health Institute and Duke NUS graduate medical school researchers found the lifetime medical costs for obese 10-year-olds alone will be $14 billion. the lifetime medical costs for obese 10-year-olds, $14 billion. So we're taking a look at obesity. And again, we're asking the question, is obesity a disease? Proponents contend that obesity is a disease because it meets the definition of disease. It decreases life expectancy and impairs the normal functioning of the body, and it can be caused by genetic factors. Opponents, those who say obesity is not a disease, contend that it's not a disease because it is a preventable risk factor for other diseases. It is the result of eating too much and is caused by exercising too little. What do you think about that? We covered the first two pros and cons the first time we discussed this. So let's go to pro and con three. Again, with the pros saying, yes, obesity does meet the definition of disease. The cons saying, nope, obesity is not a disease. Let's start with the cons this time. Obesity is not a disease. Many obese people live long, healthy lives is one of their contentions. A 2013 Lancet article noted that as many as one-third of obese people are, quote unquote, healthy obese, meaning that despite being significantly overweight, they have normal cholesterol and normal blood pressure levels and no sign of diabetes. Obese people tend to go to the doctor more and have regular checks for other risk factors and diseases. Many people with a body mass index, which is again based on body fat, height and weight in the obesity range, are not physically impaired and live normal lives. BMI does not take into account the overall health of the individual and can identify fit, muscular people as obese because what muscle weighs more than fat. All right, here's a pro. They're saying that obesity is a disease. Obesity decreases a person's life expectancy and can cause death like other diseases. Obesity in adults can lead to 3 years loss of life. Extreme obesity can shorten a person's lifespan by 10 years. A July 13th, 2016 Lancet meta study. Isn't it interesting that they're both referring to Lancet studies? One from 2013, the cons. This one, the pros, from 2016. This Lancet meta study found that even moderate obesity led to an increased chance of early death, 29.5% for men compared to 19% for men of normal BMI weight, and 14.6% for women compared to 11%. The authors calculated that 1 in 5 premature deaths in North America could be avoided if obese people were normal BMI weights. The Surgeon General reports an estimated 300,000 deaths each year may be attributed to obesity. People who are obese have a 50 to 100% increased risk of death from all causes. Be thinking about this now. Be you know, kind of weighing this. And in the meantime, I do want us all to be thinking about how we can make ourselves healthier, how we can encourage our children to live healthy lifestyles, how we can encourage our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren to live healthy lifestyles. All right, so here's our next pro. They're saying that obesity is a disease. Obesity can be a genetic disorder, such as sickle cell anemia, which is classified as a disease. Researchers have identified 79 genetic syndromes that are associated with obesity. And studies have shown that obesity can be inherited like height. Genetic disposition plays a large role in determining if a person will be obese. A May 2014 study published in the Journal of Molecular Psychology links higher rates of obesity to the fat mass and obesity association gene. The FTO, fat mass and obesity association gene, reportedly lowers activity in the part of the brain that controls impulses in response to the taste and texture of food. So people with the gene are more likely to eat more fatty foods and eat more impulsively as they age. A 1990 study published in the New England Journal of Medicine on body mass in twins not raised in the same home reached this conclusion. Genetic influences on body mass index are substantial, whereas the childhood environment has little or no influence. What do you think about that? In addition to genetic predisposition, almost 10% of morbidly obese people have defects in the genes that regulate food intake, metabolism, and weight. That was Pro 4. Here's Con 4. They're saying that, very simply, obesity is the result of eating too much. The suggested daily caloric intake for 31 to 50-year-olds is 1,800 calories for women and 2,200 calories for men. In 2009 to 2010, 30 to 39-year-old women consumed an average 1,831 calories, which is 1.7% over the recommendation, while men of the same age consumed an average 2,736 calories per day, which is 22% over the recommendation. The average American restaurant meal portion size is four times as large as portions in the 1950s, and 96% of entrees at chain restaurants exceed dietary guidelines for fat, sodium, and saturated fat, with some almost exceeding daily intakes in one meal. The body is doing what it has evolved to do by converting excess calories into fat cells. The CDC recommends reducing consumption of sugar drinks like sodas and high-energy, dense foods to prevent and reduce obesity. The Mayo Clinic states having a diet that's high in calories, eating fast food, skipping breakfast, eating most of your calories at night, drinking high-calorie beverages, and eating oversized portions all contribute to weight gain. Did you catch any of there that really caught your attention, maybe alarmed you? Okay, let me read that to you again. Let me share this with you again. Having a diet, and this is according to the Mayo Clinic, having a diet that's high in calories, eating fast food, skipping breakfast, eating most of your calories at night, drinking high-calorie beverages, and eating oversized portions all contribute to weight gain. All right, we need to do some examining, y'all. We need to do some examining. What are we doing that could be contributing to a less than healthy lifestyle, possibly being overweight, possibly being obese? Here's the thing that I think we should consider. Whether we conclude that obesity is a disease or not, we still need to be making sure that we are living healthy lifestyles. And so that's part of the reason that I want us to cover this. I definitely want us to debate the issue, even within ourselves, whether obesity is a disease. But I also want us to be picking up on facts that can help us be motivated and empowered, informed on living healthier lifestyles. So here's Con 5, which states that obesity is the result of sedentary lifestyles. Compared to 40 years ago, people today spend more time commuting, sitting in front of a computer, watching television, playing video games, and generally exercising less. In 1960, 50% of jobs required moderate physical activity compared to just 20% of jobs in 2011. The other 80% in 2011 required little or no physical activity. This shift represents 120 to 140 fewer calories burned per day. Can you imagine being able to burn all those calories literally just while working? Remember what we shared before about how people in the house cleaning industry just did so much better at losing weight once they realized their work was burning calories and they changed their attitude about the health benefits of their work. 120 to 100 fewer calories burned per day, which closely aligns with the nation's overall weight gain trends. Men expended 142 fewer calories daily and weighed 32.8 pounds more in 2003 to 2006 than in 1960 to 1962, while women expended 124 fewer calories daily and weighed 25.13 pounds more in 2003 to 2006 than in 1960 to 1962. Here's our pro numero cinco. Pro number five, government entities and major medical groups recognize obesity as a disease. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, the American Heart Association, the American College of Cardiology, and the Obesity Society, the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, and the American College of Gastroenterology have identified obesity as a disease. Even the Internal Revenue Service recognizes obesity as a disease, so weight loss expenses may be counted as a medical deduction from taxes. On June 18, 2013, the American Medical Association recognized obesity as a disease requiring a range of medical interventions to advance obesity treatment and prevention. Now, with those organizations, and those are some pretty heavy hitters, having concluded that obesity is a disease, should we continue to debate the matter? Now, we have one more pro, no more cons, with regards to this question of whether or not obesity is a disease. But before we get to that last one, let's take a look at something that might help us with the healthy eating process. This has to do with portion sizes. You know, we have been hearing a lot about that, reading a lot about that. Portion sizes makes a huge difference. So I want to share with you ways that they are describing portion sizes. And let's start with breakfast foods. And remember now, the recommendation has been made for years that we be aware of our portion sizes because they do matter. Okay, so breakfast foods, and here, remember that we've been told a number of times that we should not be skipping breakfast. The bodies need it from head to toe. The bodies need breakfast. The brain needs it. And when the body, you know, has been, you know, lying, I don't want to use the word dormant. That sounds a little morbid, but when we've been in that reclined position for a number of hours while sleeping during the night, we get up, we're ready to get going, starting our day. The body really does well getting the fuel it needs to move through the day, that fuel being healthy foods. So that's why I want us to take a look at portion sizes as it pertains to breakfast foods first. One serving of cereal, they compare that to the volume of a wine glass. Now, you're going to have to think about this, really and truly think about this, because your needs may differ a bit depending on what's going on with you. All right? So, but this is just what they say. Just consider this. One serving of cereal should be the size of the volume of a wine glass. That's just one serving. That's not to say you should only have one serving. All right. One bagel should be the size of a hockey puck. One muffin should be the size of a light bulb. one serving of pancakes. You may have three or four of them. They should be about as big around as a CD. One serving of butter should be about the size of a Scrabble tile. Y'all know how we play Scrabble and we have to use our letters to make those words. All right, one Scrabble tile. That's about the size that one serving of butter should be. One serving of juice. Glass. One serving of waffles. Again, you may have two or three of them. They should be about as big around as a CD. One serving of steak should be about the thickness of a deck of cards and about as big around as the palm of your hands. One serving of fish should be about the size of a checkbook. One serving of dry spaghetti. Would you believe this? Size of a quarter, that sounds mighty small to me. But again, remember, you don't have to just have just one serving of each of these. One serving of cooked rice or pasta should be about the size of a tennis ball. We're out of the breakfast foods now. One medium baked potato, about the size of a computer mouse. Computer mouse, no, not a mouse, computer mouse. One serving of cooked vegetables, about the size of a billiard ball. But with some of these foods, you're going to be eating more than one serving, hopefully, because you don't want to starve. Remember, you don't want to go too far in either direction. You don't want to be overweight, but you don't want to be underweight either. All right. We're going to come back in just a few. Well, let's get that right now. That last pro when it comes to whether or not obesity is a disease. So here's the last one. And again, I know that I've only given you five cons, but that's all that's presented. We have six pros, so let me give you this last one. Physicians from as early as the 17th century have referenced obesity as a disease. English physician Thomas Sydenham wrote that corpulency, obesity, may be ranked amongst the diseases arising from original imperfections in the functions of some of the organs. William Wade, a 19th century British surgeon and medical author, wrote that when an excess amounting to what may be termed obesity is not only in itself a disease, but may be the cause of many fatal effects, particularly in acute disorders. In the February 12, 1825 issue of the Medical Advisor and Guide to Health and Long Life, Robert Thomas, a 19th century doctor, wrote, "Corpulence," again, that's obesity, "when it arrives at a certain height, becomes an absolute disease."